Apostle Pastor Bishop McGuire, very dear friend of mine. I know he has a revelation word for you. I say, God bless you, Pastor McGuire.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly, we want to say thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his mercy, his grace. We want to say thank God for the phenomenal word from Pastor Martin that has been deposited into our hearts this morning. Confession that leads to victory. Amen. And we want to say thank God this morning for the bishop, the apostle of this local house of faith, in the person of my friend, my brother, amen, my partner, amen, in the person of Pastor Gary Chance. And we want to say thank the Lord for Pastor Renfro. Amen. And to all of you men that are gathered here this morning at the men's extravaganza, lift your Bibles to heaven. And God is building something here, and I'm excited to be a part of it. And Pastor Martin, one of the things that we do at JCM, before we share the word, we always make this declaration, and this is yet confessing the word of God. So with the Bibles lifted high, I say, this is the infallible, the incorruptible, eternally inspired, come on, men, inerrant word of God. I am, I can do, and I can have everything God, my Father, has promised me. God alone is my only source. Let's qualify the God that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I'm talking about the God of Pastor Chance. I'm talking about the God of Pastor Martin. I'm talking about the God of Pastor Renfro. This God alone is my only source. He's the only one who can meet my high living needs. All I have to do is believe God and receive from God. I am an heir. I am in Christ, seed of Abraham, and a legal, legitimate, bona fide heir to the covenants of promise as stipulated in God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I'm excited. Amen. And we're building on something this morning. God is doing some construction this morning. And certainly as the word have already gone forth in confessions that leads to victories. Amen. Now I want to just add on to this. The confession that leads to victory is you and I knowing that the Father has been revealed. You didn't hear it. Look at the man of God next to you and say, oh, yes, the Father has been revealed. Say, my confession that leads to victory is speaking the revelation of my Father over my life. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, man, in the midst of a season of pain, economical downcline, amen, an economy that's gone ballistic, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of sin, in the midst of new age philosophies, amen, in the midst of high divorce rates, amen, in the midst of having athletes and Hollywood movie stars trying to promote to us the mailman and who our identity is. It's not found and it cannot be communicated through the Hollywood movie stars. It can't be communicated through television, and it's certainly not the sports figures. Amen? Because when we look to these men as role models and leaders, they're literally leading us down a road to destruction. Amen? But as men of God, as men that are born again, men that are faith-filled, spirit-filled, amen, men that understands that it is in Christ that I live, move, and have my being. Because in order for you and I to be saved, we had to confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of the only wise, true, and the living God. And this confession that leads to victory has now removed the veil from my eyes, enabling me to clearly see and understand that the Father has been revealed to us. Amen? So I'm excited this morning. Amen. And it's far too many men of God and believers are literally camouflaging our failures to be men in God's kingdom. We're giving too many excuses. If it weren't for the way I was raised, or well, my father left my mother, or everybody else is doing it, or if it weren't for this woman that God gave me. But whatever man's excuses may be for failing in the kingdom or failing to fulfill God's agenda, he is not getting the job done. And as we continue to focus more closely on the kingdom of agenda in the church this morning, I want to help encourage the Christian men to be all that God has called you to be. And part of you understanding and knowing what God has called you to be is getting the revelation or receiving the vision from your Father of who he really is, because he's a Father that loves you. He's a Father that needs you. He's a Father that wants to provide for you. He's a Father that wants to build you up. He's a Father that wants to strengthen you. He's a Father that wants to encourage you. He's a Father that wants to release his DNA that's been released through the Holy Spirit into your life, so that you and I, as covenant men of promise, can begin to fulfill our purpose and walk in our destinies. Shout with me again. Say, the Father has been revealed. Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 26 through 27. Amen. What did I say? Matthew? Did I say Matthew? Matthew, 11th chapter. And let's look at verse. Verse 25. At that time, what does your Bible say? Come on, talk to me, man. You don't have to stand up, because we're going to do a lot of reading, and if we do the reading, you're going to be stand up. But what does your Bible say? It says, at that time, who? Answered, and what? I thank you, who? Come on, shout it again, who? Then he calls him Lord of what? That you, who's the you, man? The Father. That you, Father, you see that? Have hidden these what things from the what wise, prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Listen, look up at me. Education is critical, and we need it. But education and a degree is not enough to give you the wisdom or the revelation of who the Father is. Your best friend cannot give you the revelation. The books that you are reading, science is only confirming what God has already created, but science by itself is not enough to give you the revelation of who the Father is. That's why the secular system, and even as we are soon to enter into Father's Day on tomorrow, the world, the world's view of what a father is going to always conflict with the kingdom. Because in order for the world to embrace God as a father, it has to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the revelation can only come when I have accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. Then the veil or the blinders are removed so that now I can clearly see the significance and the purpose as to the reason why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus says right now, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Look at verse 27. All what have been delivered to me by my who? I'm having fun. Say my stuff that I need has been revealed to me by my Father. But it takes my faith in what he said about me and my confession on daily to do what he's asking me to do, because this is, come on, talk to me, this is the instructions from my Father. In other words, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. What is it? My health, my healing, my education, the blueprint for it, the ability to love the unlovable, the ability to pray the perfect prayer. The ability to worship him in spirit and in truth. The ability to realize that in him alone I live, move, and have my being. In other words, my significance and my value is in my Father, and the Father has been revealed to me so that I can understand who I am and what I'm supposed to do. Look at this. No one knows the Son. Circle the Son and write the word. Glory to God. No one knows the Son or the word about the Son except the Father. Do you see that? Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. I'll read it to you again. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. If you got it, raise your hand up. You didn't get it. Not enough hands. We're gonna stay right here. No one, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Come on. You got to get it, man. Did you get it? Do you see what he's saying? No one knows, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Listen, you cannot know what your responsibilities are as a male that will one day become a father if you don't know the Father. And the only way that you can know the Father is through the Word of God. That's what he says right here. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. You can't know him without the Word. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Look at the man next to you and say, my daddy, my father, has been revealed to me through the Word of God. Listen. Now, come to me, all you men, you sons that are laboring, working hard to get your identity. And you're heavy laden. You got some pain. You got some anguish. There's some rejection. There's some abuses that have taken place. Amen. There's some major setbacks. I didn't have a dad to encourage me. And I'm yet bitter about that. I got to take the facade off. I mean, had my dad been around, I wouldn't be where I am. I would be further along. But you don't understand that it was even difficult for your father, because if your father didn't know who he was in God through Christ, he can't reveal the Father to you. Come on, talk to me now. This is where we're missing it. I can't reveal God to my sons, if God hasn't been revealed to me. I will never know. I can be successful in this life, but yet be a wreck, because the only thing that I can pass down to my sons is what I've learned. And what I've learned, if I didn't get it from the Word through being born again, I had to learn it from someone else. And if I've learned it outside the kingdom, it's out of order. When I reflect back about my own life, Pastor Chance, Pastor Martin, Pastor Renfro, look here. My family's history was really one of the crime and the underworld theology. You understand? I mean, they majored, they mastered, and they were doctors of thugology, criminology. But yet they were great providers. They went to work. They wanted everything in excellence. But they were void. They were men that were void of a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And it was one phenomenal hindrance for my family. So when I grew up, that mindset and those figures, those images that I had about what a real man or a father was all about, it was skewed because it wasn't based on truth. It took, and then when we come up in a world like that, and you see men of God, and in my circles, we were making fun of the men of God, but the men of God were the ones that really caught our attention, but we didn't really know how to relate to them and how to get involved, because no one was encouraging us. And if we took a step out of that circle of our friends to go into the house of God where the real men were, then my partners began to call us girly men and men that were wimps, because you don't have to do all that to be a man. But being a man is more than drinking the beer. Being a man is more than looking at pornography. Being a man is more than being abused. Being a man is more than having tattoos on your body. Being a man is more than going to the gym and working on your biceps and your triceps. Being a man is more than having an accurate golf swing. Being a man is more than being an athlete. Being a man is more than being a scientist and being a scholar and keeping your head in a book. Being a man is more than that. Being a man is when a man dies to himself, dies to his nature, dies to his personality, dies to his character, dies to his philosophy, and embraces the vision that God has literally given us through his word about a real father, a real man, a real son is supposed to be. And the only way that that can happen is the Father has to reveal himself to you. And the only way that he can reveal himself to you is through a relationship. And that relationship is based on your confessions that leads to victory. And today I wish that I had my father would have been a believer relative to the word of God to give me the instructions that are necessary, not only for my life to be sustained, but for me to live a viable and a productive life. I wish my father had showed me how to press in and hear from God. I wish he would have shown me how to be a giver, a tithe paying, an offering giver. I wish he would have shown me how to love a woman as Christ loved the church, and not a girlfriend, but to enter into a covenant relationship through marriage with loyalty, commitment, and a passion. I wish that early on, but I thank God for his grace. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his goodness, because when he saved me and I began to get into his word, he began to reveal to me through his word what a father was really all about. He began to reveal to me that a father is a man that understands communication with the Heavenly Father is vitally critical for your necessity upon the earth. He began to reveal to me that a father is a worshiper. He began to reveal to me that a father is a nourisher. A father is a provider. A father is a protector. And the walls of protection that he builds around his family, it's not with the 357 Magnums. It's not with the Uzis. It's not with the knives. It's not with the hunting knives. It's not with the shotguns. You're able to build that wall of protection through prayer and sanctify your family through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's you building a wall of decreeing the voice, the word of God around your family as you begin to say, God, I thank you for your mercy that endures forever. In you, my family are wonderfully and fearfully made in your image. I am blessed to be a blessing. In you I live, move, and have my being. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I have the ability to speak life to my child's life. I can speak life to that thing that's dead, and that thing that's dead after hearing the word of God will have to receive the life of God, because this is what my assignment is, because all that my father has done through his word is now deposited into my life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now I, like my father, like Christ, have the ability to speak those things that are not as though they are. The Father has been revealed. Do you see him? Israel knew of God as a God of wrath and as a God of judgment. They were afraid to face him and couldn't. And they had to have a high priest. They did not know him as Father God. But we find something very unique. When Jesus came on the scene, it was the intent and the will of God to reveal himself to us as a loving father, as a nurturer, as a provider, as a protector, as a healer, as a God that longs to reveal to you his vision and his purpose for your life. And the only way that you can receive it again is through you and I accepting Christ. Well, as we've accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the veil or the blinders on our eyes have been removed. Now we can clearly see what a father is all about. Listen, men, even while we're here today, you have peers, you have friends, and not all of your friends are saved. You have a system now that is trying to reshape our value system, because that system is out of order. It's not the way the world and the kingdom are two opposites. The world doesn't see God like we see God, because it can't know him. And as Pastor Martin just shared with us in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, because the Bible is more than a book. It's more than a novel. This is God literally speaking to us, but they cannot know who God is because there's a veil over their eyes. Therefore, they can't see what you and I see. And if men have not been born again, there's no way that they can give you the identity of what a real father is all about, because it's not based on Webster's definition. And it's not based on what you have seen on television and in the movies. It's based on a man loving God. This second point, you have to know that this is a father that loves you. This is not a father that has his hand drawn back to backhand you. This is a father that does not enjoy chastising you when you're wrong. This is a father that's not abusive. This is a father that will never give you bad advice. This is not a father that will decree a promise to you and then break it. This is a father that will always honor his word, but you have to be close enough to hear what he's saying. Look at Jeremiah 31. Look at this. Woo, Lord, look at verse 1. He says at the same time, says who? I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. The people, thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness in Israel when I went to give him rest. Look at what he says. The Lord has appeared of old to me. What did he say to you? Come on, talk to me. What? Hold it. Look, now see, you got to get personal. Just lift a hand right now and say, Father. Say, Father, I thank you that in spite of me, your love never changes. Father, I thank you that by loving kindness, you've drawn me to you. Father, I thank you for your love. Now look at me. See, he says here, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Now, you got to get this. It's not a question of the Father's love. It's a question of your response. Glory to God. His love for you has been demonstrated, but now he's asking you to respond. You don't want to reject him, but you want to embrace him because he's the only one that can give you the revelation and the vision that he set forth for your life. I have a son, and as sons, Pastor Chance, Pastor Martin, and Pastor Renfro, you know, we say, okay, God, give me the revelation for my son. We can get a glimpse, but we can't reveal the total picture. But it is through our relationship that gives our sons hope of the expected end. Through our relationship with God the Father, that will show them how to press in. And pressing in means that his love has been demonstrated, but now I have to respond. It's like if you have to do this. This is your son. What's his name? Joseph. Come here, Joseph.
It's almost like you got to take him like this. Give me a hand, Joseph. Give me that other hand. Joseph, come with me. Come on.
Father, today in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Joseph, this is how it has to be done. I can't see God, but it's my faith in knowing that he's here. I know through my relationship with him that his eyes are upon us and his ears is open to my cry. My faith, me and you, acting on what we believe and talking to him, I got to know that when I'm still long enough, just like I'm talking to you, Joseph, he's going to speak to me. You may be seated. I had to take him in. I had to show him how the Father, Lord have mercy. See, he's still my father. I'm not fatherless. I'm 58 years old, but I got a father. My natural father is dead. He died in 1994 without ever revealing unto me who my real father really was. But I had grace to lead my natural father to Jesus Christ before he died. But I'm trying to tell you, I wish he would have shown me what I'm compelled to show young men and men and fathers. I wish he would have shown me how to pray, because it was his responsibility to reveal the Father to me so that I can grow and know that the same God, the same Father, that's why he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And for you and I today, not only is he the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, but I can say he's the God of my grandfather, Leo Wilson. He's the God of my father, Arthur Leon McGuire. He's the God and the father of my pastor, my man of God. And the God that my pastor, the God that my father, the God that my grandfather has served cannot fail, because he's a provider. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He can keep me in perfect peace as long as my mind and my heart has stayed on him. He's a God that wants me to worship him and worship him, worshiping him in the midst of my adversity, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my struggles. Worshiping God is just a war cry from the man of God in the earth realm, saying to the force of hell, I am not defeated, because in God alone I am yet a conqueror. In God alone I am victorious. In God alone I am not defeated, because I live and move and have my being in him, and my Father will not forsake me, because he said, I've never seen my children forsaken, and I've never seen my sons begging bread. Because I loved you with an everlasting love. And all I want you to do is just to be like me in the earth. I want you to rule. I want you to dominate. I want you to possess. I want you to occupy. I want you to advance my kingdom on the earth, giving your peers, your partners, giving your friends, giving your college friends the vision of who I really am, because they can only know me through what they see in you. Close your eyes. Listen. This men's extravaganza is more than you and I come. You have four pastors here, and I'm included, that have a passion, not only love, a love for God, but a love to see you men to be nurtured and to be developed into who you're really supposed to be. We're fighting what some would say is an uphill battle. We don't spend that much time with you. maybe a few hours on Sunday where you only hear us minister for maybe 45 minutes to an hour. And then we might see you again on midweek Bible studies and then other services. And that's only going to total about 3 hours that you're in our presence. But we are fighting against news media, TV, sports, ESPN. We're fighting against the movie stars. And we're fighting against an educational system that is trying to indoctrinate you to an antichrist, atheist theology, where you reject the counsels of God because you're not seeing him move. We're fighting that. And our fight, we're fighting the good fight of faith because we don't see you as young men that are subject to the system. You know, like in Braveheart, how many of you saw Braveheart? You know, when William Wallace went up to the men, he encouraged them. And he said, we see an army of men. Men that are brave. Men that wants to give hope to the hopeless. We see men of courage. We see men of honor. We see men of strength. We see champions. We see mighty men, soon to be fathers. We see men that will promote hope and love for God. We know and we see men who understand the times that we're living in, because time is a luxury that we don't have. This is what we see. And it's time for you to respond. Now, real quickly, you don't have to stand, but let's start with forgiveness and bitterness. As I relinquish and pass the baton on to Pastor Winfro, I just want to make this one appeal. If you are a father or a son, and if your father has not revealed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God that your pastors serve, and you're bitter, I want to pray the prayer, and we want to break that stronghold. Forgive him and let that pain go. I don't care if he didn't take you to the Little League. I don't care if he didn't take you to bowling. So what if he didn't play catch with you? You're still here, and God has given you men of God after his heart that are standing in the gap to be the role models. Your role models are not out there. The role models are in the house of God. So if you're here today, and if you have some bitterness and unforgiveness, I'm not going to ask you to identify it, but I want you to be revealed. I want you to be real. Take the mask off and raise your hand. Are you here this morning? God bless you. God bless you. Now, keep the hands lifted up. Those that are lifting hands, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, listen, right now, I want you to say this. Say, Lord Jesus, by your mercy and your kindness and your love that has drawn me, this day, June the 20th, 2009, I forgive my natural father. I forgive him for not knowing you and not training me in the fear and in the admonition of who you are. Father, I release him to you, and forgiving him sets me free. Father, oh God, just say, Father, father me. Show me how to love, how to pray,
how to walk in holiness, and how to know with boldness who I am. I am righteous in you, not my righteousness, but it's your righteousness. Father, give me the vision. Strengthen me through faith to walk in it and to be victorious.